Okay, we are here in Seattle with Mia Dung, who is 31 and from Henan. Is that right? And we're going to talk a little bit about your life. You grew up in the orphanage from the time you were a baby, a newborn, until you were 19 years old, which is quite unusual. Can you tell us a little bit about how you left the orphanage? How did you come to leave and be here?
In 2006, In 2005, there was a family from Washington State. They were visiting the orphanage where I lived, and they wanted to sponsor a child from the orphanage to come to America to study. And I was given the opportunity to come to Seattle to study. They sponsored me, my visa and application. That's how I came to Seattle.
Was this family visiting the orphanage and met you, or was this something they proposed to the orphanage director and you were told about it?
This family has sponsored a program to support the children with disabilities in China. They were visiting the program they were sponsoring, and when they got there, the orphanage director also told the family that I wanted to study in American, but previously I was refused. My visa was refused. So, and then this family decided to help me to get to America.
So, you had tried before?
Yes.
And put in a visa application with the help of the orphanage, or all on your own?
Previously was another family from New York City. They were going to sponsor me, but the paperwork got messed up and it didn't work, so I didn't go to previous year, and this family came forward.
So when you came over here initially, were you on a student visa?
Yes, I was on F1 student visa.
And did you come and live with the family who sponsored you?
When I first got here, I lived with them, and I studied in the community college to take English as second language classes because I didn't speak a lot of English, and I needed to get English proficiency courses before I can go to university here.
So you lived with this family in Washington State. You went to community college. And how long did you live with them?
I lived with them about roughly 2 years.
Was that a big adjustment?
It was a big change, transition, because the family lived in a neighborhood that's outside of Seattle. And compared to the orphanage life, I always shared a room with many children, and it was different because I had my own room, bedroom, and closet, and bathroom, so it was different.
Was it different good or different weird?
At first, it felt really overwhelming, quiet, because the orphanage life is always seemed chaotic. There was a lot of noise, like kids crying or caregiver talking. It was really loud, but when I live with family, it was really quiet because there's not a whole lot of people compared to the Chinese orphanage.
Did this family have children who were living at home while you were there?
Yes, they have children living in the home. Also was studying in school at the time.
Were you older than their children? Because you were community college age at that point.
Yes, I was older if compared to the kids.
How did their children adjust to having you?
They just see me as a exchange student, and their families are helping me, and they also have two Chinese daughters, but they were adopted very young, so they're taking Chinese classes, and sometimes we would eat together or go out together.
So after you finished community college, what did you study?
After I finished community college, I transferred to Seattle University, study social work. Yes, I wanted to study social work so I could help other people like myself, like someone live in a hard situation. And because I feel like also I understand what it's like when you're struggling with life and how you needed help to give help to other people so they can feel their value.
And did you graduate from the university?
I didn't finish my study at university because in the middle of my study there was something happened in the family, so I left some in the middle and I transferred to another school to finish my degree.
And did you finish your degree there?
I finished my bachelor degree and in a similar major called behavior science, so I could get a job after my graduation.
How old were you when you got your undergraduate degree?
I was 27 years old.
So you had moved out from the family who sponsored you. Where did you go to live?
After I left the family, I kind of just like stayed with different friends, like people I knew from church, or like they have a spare room. So when I first left CLU, I stayed with my friends at her apartment for like maybe a few weeks, and then I stayed with another family in Bellevue for like the summer, and then after Liberty, I went to stay with another family for a year. And then, but it was very far to live with that family. So after a year, I found through church resources, I found a place near Beacon Hill, which is close to the school I was going. So I lived with a roommate in her house for 3 years.
So at that point, you were about how old?
I was 27.
Where did you get your degree from? What school did you ultimately graduate from?
I completed my degree in Seattle Central Community College, where they have a bachelor program.
So how are you doing this financially? You're living with different families, kind of the kindness of friends who are helping and supporting you. How did you manage tuition?
After I left Seattle University, and I actually write a blog about myself to ask for help from friends I know, and there was a family before they visit the orphanage on the medical mission trip. So the man, he was a doctor, he helped me for like a couple quarters in SU. And then there was another woman, her daughter went to CLU, she also has a Chinese adoptee. She wrote email to me, says, I would like to help you finish school. So she actually supported me financially while I was studying at Seattle Central.
I haven't asked you. I had to pause for a minute and ask you the nature of your disability.
I don't know if it's like disability or just like medical condition. I was born with scoliosis, and I had two operations when I was living in China, and also when I came to the state to the Seattle, I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, which I didn't know I had it when I was in China because the Chinese doctor never diagnosed me with that.
And the scoliosis is you're quite tiny. You're very petite. How tall are you?
I am 4 feet 3 inches.
How much do you weigh?
52.
You are really small, especially compared to me. I feel like a giant. So you leave the orphanage. At the time that you left the orphanage, did you speak English?
When I was in the orphanage, I studied some English at school because the school I went to, we had like English classes for twice a week where they always have a teacher from different school come to teach us English, to teach English, yeah.
So you had some English. You were obviously looking ahead and thinking about your life after the orphanage. You had applied once and hoped to leave sponsored by the family from New York. When that didn't work out, this other family from Washington State came along. If you had stayed in China, what do you think your life would be like? Like, if this hadn't worked out, and we'll continue in a minute about your current road, but if this hadn't worked out, what was the other plan? What was plan B?
I think it's kind of hard to thinking what if, like, I hadn't come here, because I think living in China, life is kind of really, really different because there is a lot of people, and then the opportunity is very, very limited, especially for people who are underprivileged or have a disability and female. And I think the culture expectation, gave me a lot of pressure to be in China, have very limited choice. I kind of feel like if I had lived in China, I probably very, very hard to find a job. And also, I think I would face a lot of medical problem because if I hadn't come here, I don't know if the doctor in China would help me to figure out I have sleep apnea, because I remember when I came here, I have problems in the morning, because I always thought, oh, maybe I didn't sleep enough. But I had a lot when you're sleeping and you actually lost oxygen, stop breathing, but you didn't know it because I was having all this problem. And then I got to see a doctor in here at medical clinic, and he told me to do sleep study, and that was first time I kind of learned myself not just have scoliosis, I have lung restrictive disorder and sleep apnea. So I think with medical condition I have, probably it's very, very challenging and risk to live in China to access to the medical care. And I don't have any family in China. I don't, I think the orphanage has very limited financial resources. They can't just give you the money. Plus, I'm already over 18 years old. I don't think the orphanage would continue to support me. I think life would be really, really hard in China, and finding a place to live or just finding a job as a person with disability is very, very challenging. I remember, like, when I was in China, like, in school, people would say, oh, to be a teacher, you have to be really tall, or, like, your appearance has its needs, has requirements. Like, if you're short, like, I don't know if I would be a teacher if I'm in China right now, because I don't know people would hire me to work in school. Like, here, like, you know, like, there has a lot of, like, resources for people with disability, and at workplace they have laws to protect, like, people who have disability. They make accommodations.
Do you know anything about your family at all in China? Do you have any information about how you arrived at the orphanage?
I didn't know anything about my arrival to the orphanage, and I didn't know any information about my biological parents and how I got to the orphanage. But my very first memory of myself being the orphanage, I just know I was there, and I see, like, there are many other children. I didn't really realize, like, that was orphanage, because there were just always a lot of children. We live there, we have caregivers. But I think when I get older and the caregiver would talk to us, oh, you came when you're very young, like this small, or they say, and but they don't have any, like, information. They just say, oh, you came really small, like, I took care of you, like, you were just here. Like, I didn't know any information about my families.
So, before we go backward, because I do want to go backward and hear more about what it was like to grow up in the orphanage, I just want to kind of place you in the current moment. After you graduated from college, got your degree, had help from various people. It sounds like you're pretty active in your church. Help from church friends and others. Where did you kind of settle in terms of living? Have you been living in the same place for the last 3 or 4 years? Or
like, in the past few years, I have been always live in the South Seattle area, because that's where I have been living, and I have friends, and my work is around this area. So I feel like this is the area I'm going to stay in for a while.
And you're working now as a preschool teacher, is that right?
Yes.
And just a little bit about kind of what your status is. I know you've applied for residency, for a green card, and you're in the process of that right now.
Yes, I am in the process of getting a green card with the help of a lawyer.
And is this, you were telling me, is this the same lawyer who helped you out pro bono here in Seattle?
Yes.
And tell me about a little bit about her. Is she, she sounds like she's been really helpful.
Yeah, she's very helpful. And I met her at a legal clinic where they gave people free appointment to meet lawyers and to talk about your case. And the lawyer gave you legal consultation, like, what are your choices are. So I met her there, and she decided to help me with my status.
And do you have any idea how long much more you're going to be waiting? Or it sounds like it's kind of moving along.
Yeah, right now, like, last year I got approved to stay in the U.S. And then this year I got to apply for green card. And I don't know how long it takes for me to get green card, but I know it's in the direction, like, I'm waiting to get the card.
And so let's go back and talk about life in the orphanage. You, at some point, you were a little tiny girl and you realized, oh, this is where I live. How many kids were there? What was your daily life like?
Like, I lived in the orphanage. We moved, like, twice. We used to live in the places, like, courtyard. There were, like, a few rooms. And the room has, like, cribs and big beds. And we just live there and we eat. Like, they have people bring the food in the buckets. And then we eat there, like, three meals a day. And we play. Sometimes there was a teacher. She would teach us stuff in the, one of the classroom.
Were the, how were the IEs? Were they nice? Were they not nice? Were they mixed bag?
I think the IEs are kind of hardworking. I don't feel like we were expecting them to, like, training us, you know, like, really, really nice, because they have a lot of work to do, and also they have their own families. They are, like, working, you know, getting support, like, financial pay to support their families. They have really hard jobs, and they work, like, long hours, and mostly they're very nice to us.
But it doesn't sound like there was any illusion on your part that they weren't family, it doesn't sound like. Did you have some sense of family?
I think when you live in a place, like, in a structured place, like orphanage, you kind of sense it's like big family, but there isn't picture of one-on-one attention. Like, you know, when you're in family, probably at the end of the day, your parents would ask you, how was your day? Oh, like, you know, like, how was your school? You would talk about it. I think for the orphanage, because there was limited caregivers who had to take many, many children, for them, I think the most important job is to make sure the children are safe, being fed, clothed, you know, like, remind the children go to bed, like, do our own chores. I don't really know if people really see as a family, because we live there. That's where we grow up. That's where we sleep. That's where we play with other children. That's where the orphanage is. And I don't know. I feel like family, it's really a big concept for have different meaning to different families. To me, I think, like, in the sense of this orphanage is, they have, like, composed different things. Like, there's IEs, there's children, and there's directors, and there is other people. It's, like, really big family. But in a sense, it's, like, functioning as a team and things make things work, but not necessarily in the sense, like, the family would be, like, I don't know, like, father, mother, and children have that, like, bonding, like, the attachment, because I think the IE has to take so many children. How could you expecting them to be treat you extra special, or, you know, like, princess? I don't know.
Did you have friends, close friends, with any of the other kids in the orphanage?
There were, like, a lot of boys when I lived there, and they're not much, like, girls in my age. Like, there were times I kind of feel like I didn't have a lot of friends because there were just, like, a lot of boys, I don't know, in the group I was in. And there had, like, you know, they divided different groups. Like, there's, like, people as they go to school outside, and there's a lot of boys and different age. And later on, there were girls, but they're really young. Like, I don't feel like I'm on the same stage as them. Well, maybe, like, sister, older sister, or younger sister with them, but not, like, similar age.
So either there were boys who were about your age, or there were younger girls. They were older boys or younger girls. You were kind of in the middle on your own. Did most of the kids who you were with over time get adopted?
Yes. In the beginning, I remember it would be people only adopting like younger kids, like toddlers or babies, but not like much older kids. But then I think around 90s, maybe like around 2000 years, people like slowly start to adopting older children. And I remember there was a few kids from our group got adopted because there was like American volunteer team came, so they took us to the park, but only a few kids like got like, you know, matched with families, and then the family decided to adopt them afterwards.
So they, this group took you all to the park, and did the potential families also come to the park?
I think the people who are volunteer in that trip wasn't necessary to adopt. They're just trying to help the orphanage to do work and spend time with the children there. But then after, like, you know, when you're interacting with children, you probably fall in love with some of the children, so they decide to adopt. But not everybody is going to adopt.
So what was that like to see some children leave to be adopted by a family and to not leave?
I think it's hard and like bittersweet. Like, I am happy, like, the children, they're young, because I think they deserve to have a family to love them, care for them, and to come to America, they could have better opportunities. But at the same time, I think it's kind of feel like sad, like envious, like you feel like I feel probably, oh, I wish I could go too. But at the same time, I know that, like, I understand, like, there's like age limits to get adopted, and also, so I think, you know, it's process to understand to, like, some other kids got adopted, oh, I'm not because I am older. I understand I'm not going to be putting on the paper to be adopted. I think it's because I think I understand, so it may feel like, okay, I want to go, I wish I could go, but at the same time, I think if you understand, it probably help you to overcome your feelings.
Were there other children with disabilities at the orphanage?
Yes, there were many children with disability, like cerebral palsy, club palate, or like, you know, mental illness.
Were those children adopted?
Some of them got adopted, some of them not.
Do you think that your having sort of physical and health challenges, did that prevent or interfere with the possibility of being adopted for you, do you think?
I think there could be many reasons, because in the early years, I don't think people would adopt older children or adopting children with disabilities. And I think also because, like, each orphanage putting children adoption probably only have a limited numbers. They probably want to put the ones most likely can get adopted. Yeah.
So to some extent, it has to do with how the orphanage is positioning the children. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And did you have the sense that the orphanage was not kind of putting you out there as a really potential adoptee?
Well, I don't think I would. I don't know. It's hard to say, because I don't think I would blame for the orphanage not putting me, because there are so many children. They need family, or they need Medicare more than me because maybe they're young, and I think they probably need more because I think I understand, like, I'm older, I'm used to the life I am in, I was in, and I mean, like, I mean, so I don't, I mean, like, I probably feel sad when someone got adopted, but at the same time, I think because I understand the process, I understand the experience, so it doesn't bother me so much.
Okay. The family, the initial family that sponsored you, was this through this organization. Did they introduce you to church, or was that something you knew about before?
I knew church, like, before when I came to America, because there were, like, people live near the orphanage who are, like, older people. Like, they go to church. I see, like, they read Bibles or things. So I knew about church at that time.
So going and becoming involved wasn't difficult for you or an adjustment? Or
I didn't go to, like, church much in China, but I knew it. And there are also, like, some people from the U.S. come to China. They were Christians. That's why they come here to help the children. And I knew about church. I just didn't go much when I was in China because we don't go out that often. We didn't go out that often.
Has it become important to you in your life since China?
Do you mean the church? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, church is like a community. Everyone shares, like, the same faith and same value. Can it, like, bound it as a family, like, as God makes us, like, a family, like, you know, with people you see it, you know, on Sundays, with people you live life during, you know, like, daily life. I think, yeah, faith, I guess, is important.
And do you have faith?
I do have faith.
Tell me about what your sort of plans are for the future. How do you foresee your life now? What do you want to happen professionally, personally? You've really come a long way. You've had quite a road that you've traveled. And I just wonder what the future, what you want it to look like.
I don't know, like, envision future. It's like kind of dreaming to thinking about it. But because right now I knew that I'm in the process of waiting to get permanent residency. And then I have to wait a few years to get citizenship. And yeah, I feel like there's still, like, a long road to go. But right now I'm working as a preschool teacher because I wanted to get more experience for work. And also, I think potentially I want to maybe, like, if I can, I want to go back to school to get some kind of education degree in the future. And then I will find maybe a different job.
Do you live alone now?
I live with my roommates.
And do you think about, I don't know, marriage or being in a couple or having children yourself, or how does all that feel?
I don't know if I want to get married because it's really big question, and I don't know. I feel I struggle with trust issues with people. It's hard, but also I don't know if I knew that I cannot have children because my medical issues. So I don't really know about if I want to. I don't feel like I want to get married because just like huge responsibility, commitment, and like it just like meeting people. I don't know. It feels like risk to me, and I just want to focus on myself right now, like being myself, like putting my effort to work, like stuff.
And I know that you're pretty active on social media with Chinese adoption stuff and a little bit in the Chinese adoption community here. And I wonder how that feels to you. I know when you and I first talked about this, you said, well, I'm not a Chinese adoptee. I'm not an adoptee. And I had to really to make a case to you about why I felt like your story was so very important and so much directly part of all these stories. But I wonder what the Chinese adoption kind of narrative and community feels like to you as somebody who is part of it and in some way not part of it.
I feel like the Chinese adoption is like it's something like I knew about it. And when I was in college, I read papers about it, like adoption. I did a survey about it. Like, I knew what it is, even though I was not adopted. But also, I feel like the Chinese adoptee shares the same culture as me. Like, they speak, you know, their first language is Chinese, my first language is Chinese, and they used to live in an orphanage. So they have there's similarities between me and those Chinese adoptees, and there is like this, I don't know, like there's like commonalities between me and those Chinese adoptees, and I can't, but also because I knew like some people get adopted, they're from the same orphanage, I want to keep connection with them because like we used to be part of this team, like, you know, like orphanage, and it just feel like maybe it's a little bit like kind of like extended families, like in some way, but not like closely, but because it's like a community, everybody needs to be the part of a community to get resources, to hear each other's story, to get advice from one another.
Do you keep in touch with anyone who you grew up with in the orphanage?
I kept in touch with like some children when they got adopted, their parents, but like there are some children, like, you know, they're right now like adults. I don't think I kept like close in touch. Maybe like every once in a while, a couple years, I see them on social media, but I think because I'm here and like my life is so different than them and their boys, it's hard for me to talk to them stuff, and like I said, I don't feel like I have very like trust with boys, like not to talk, and I don't feel just open to talk to them because it's different, you know. Yeah. And so
okay, just because boys are different and they've had a different set of experiences.
Yeah, it's like I don't know, because I think boys and girls are different because they live in China, like what kind of thing they're looking, they're asking, or they won't talk about it. It's not my common interest, or I don't know because I'm not a boy. You know what I mean? Like how you make friends, you meet with girls, like you know what to say, you know, like interest. But boys, like, I mean, I knew they live in China, they're working, they have their life. It's different because I haven't seen them years, like I can't just tell them my personal life, you know what I mean? Like I don't feel it's like it's comfortable talking to them.
The kids who you were in the orphanage with who were older, these older boys, did you ever know, were they children who did not have families, or were they children who did in fact have families, who had decided to relinquish them? Do you know?
The kids that I grew up with, like, they don't have family. They are just like me, you know, live there. That their life is just there.
Is there something that you feel like you want to express or put out there that you think people need to know about any part of your experience, either growing up in the orphanage or coming to the United States and making a life here as a new person who is seeking citizenship and kind of joining this whole crazy quilt of the United States? Is there any part of this that you want people to know something about or that you want to kind of put out there that I haven't asked you? Are there any misconceptions about your situation that you feel like you'd like to kind of maybe straighten people out about? No? Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with me. You have an amazing story, and I wish you only the very best.